Erev Shabbos, Parsha Shalach, Tavshin Ayin. The Parsha tells us that after the Meraglim came back with their Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu decides that all of the spies must die, they can't enter Eretz Yisrael. Bamidbar Hazeh Yiplu Figreichem V'chol Pigudeichem V'masparchem. They're all going to die. Perek Yudala Pasek Lamid. Im atem tavei olah shashan asasi es yadi lishkei lashakin eschem bo ki im kolei ben yufuna v'yeshua benun. All else will die because of the Meraglim. They go down with the Meraglim except for Yeshua and Kolei. You go a few psukim later, Torah says v'yamusu ha'anoshim o'itziei dibas ha'oretz ra'o b'magefa l'fnei Hashem. And indeed, all of the spies died. V'yeshua benun v'kolei ben yufuna chayu min ha'anoshim o'im. They lived from that group of men, Ha'ochim Lasarasaras, who went to spy out the land. And right away, Chazal are bothered, what do you have to tell me that they lived? Obviously, if the decree was only on the Meraglim, who spoke Lashon Hara, against Eretz Yisrael, and not Yeshua and Kalev, and that's what Hashem says, why do you have to say, and Yeshua and Kalev lived? So Rashi quotes an interesting Chazal, Gemara and Baba Basra, Kuf Yud Ches Omid Beis. Ma Talmud Leima, what does this teach us? Choyu Minu Anoshim Ha'im, they lived from this group. Ela Melameid, rather it just comes to teach you this extra emphasis that they lived, comes to teach you, Shenotlu Chelkom Shel Meraglim Ba'aretz. The portion that was destined for the Meraglim to take in Eretz Yisrael was now taken over by Yeshua and Kolei v'kamu tachteyem l'chayim. It needs a little bit of explanation. What does that mean? Why do they need an extra portion? But the Orech Chayim HaKadosh and the Klei Yoker, or I should say for the Klei Yoker first and then the Orech Chayim HaKadosh, both go with a different pshat. Which really gives us a better understanding even what Rashi is saying in the name of Chazal. And they go with a pshat with a very interesting Gemara, which needs an explanation how it works, what's happening, but nonetheless a frightening concept and an important one. Gemara is in Chagiga Daf Tosvav Omid Aleph. After Remeir's Rebbe, Elisha ben Avuya, went to places he should not have gone, and he came and started rejecting all the Torah. He went out to Tarbus Ra. They changed his name. He was called Acher. He's a different person. He's not the same great Tana like he once was, Elisha ben Avuya. He's now someone else. He's Acher. And he was Michal Shabbos and Yavid Avadizara, all sorts of Averis. And he says, I'm different. I can't do tshuva anymore. So during one of these times, Reb Meir, his Talmud, met him. Shoal Acher as Reb Meir la Acher shiyos la Tarbus Ra. Acher, the Rebbe asked Reb Meir if he already had gone off, and he says, "What does it mean? The pasuk in Kehelas Gamezel Luumazel also alikim. This and this Luumazel, one with the other, one opposite the other, Hashem made. What is this referring to?" So Reb Meir said, "It means that Kol Masha Baruch Kodesh Baruch Hu Baruch Kenegdai." There was always two things that correspond to one another. He created Harim, big mountains. He created small hills. He created big oceans. He created small rivers. And there's things that are similar, but yet not on the same level. So Acher says, no. Omar Loi Acher says, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbach Loi Omar Kach. I'll tell you pshat from Rabbi Kiva. Not the pshat is they're similar but on different levels, but they're actually opposites. That's what it means. Gam mezel u'mazel osalikim. Hashem created opposites in the world. Bara tzadikim, bara rishayim. Bara gan eden, bara gehenim. That's what it means. Hashem created two types of people, or maybe two forces within one person Hashem created, and Hashem created two places, gan eden and gehenim. Everybody gets two portions. One in Gan Eden, one in Gehenim. Zocha. Tzadik, if the righteous one is Zeicha, notel chelkoi vechelachaveri be Gan Eden. Nischai of Rosha, notel chelkoi vechelachaveri be Gehenim. What does that mean? That a righteous person could merit not only his own chelik in Gan Eden, but he could somehow the chelik of his friend in Gan Eden could be transferred to him. What's the pshat in that? What's that pshat? How that works? So we'll try to say it on a down-to-earth level. I mean, Rav Tzadik writes in Resi Seloilo, the way that works is when a person goes to sleep, so it's a form of death, it's Misa, his neshama is given back to Hashem. So once Hashem has the neshama, so we can switch around. This neshama goes here, or part of it goes to this one, part of the neshama goes to the other one. So the Tzadik and the Rosh, they switch around. But why is that? Why should that be? So Rav Dessler speaks about this Gemara in two different places, and he gives two different explanations. And both of them are true, both of them are understandable, and we could understand then how it works in our parsha with Yeshua and Kalev corresponding to the Meraglim. The first way is like this. If a person is a Rasha, and a Jew does something wrong, he does an Aveira, he's Mechalel Shabbos, and another Jew sees this, and it hurts him, it bothers him, that this person is doing the wrong thing, this person is making a Chilul Hashem. So at the same time that the first person is making a Chilul Hashem, the fact that it bothers the second person is a Kiddush Hashem. The fact that the person who sees Chilul Shabbos happening, the person being Michal Shabbos is a Rasha doing something terrible. But the fact that the person who sees it feels bad about it, that's actually creating a Kiddush Hashem. He's feeling bad for Hashem. That's a sanctification of Shabbos. And in that way, he's even being misakin a little bit. He's fixing up in a way what the Rasha is doing. And therefore, he's deserving of getting that chelek of, in this of an example we're giving of Shabbos, the Rosh is being Mechal Shabbos, instead of being Mekadosh Shabbos, instead of keeping Shabbos, he's profaning Shabbos. But the person who feels bad about Shabbos takes that chelik from that Rosh and it goes to him. Because he's actually, the Chilul Hashem that's being caused is being fixed up a bit by the Kiddush Hashem that's being caused by the tsar, the pain that he can't stand that Hashem's name is being profaned. And therefore indeed, the Shabbos that the Russia was supposed to keep is now being kept by the tzaddik. He explains, this is the pshat in the Mishnah, Asara Doires Meinoyachad Avraham, Shekul and Bonu Machisin, all angered Hashem because the generations were in a decline, getting worse and worse. Ad Shabo Avram Avinu Venotal Schar Keneged Kulam. Till Avram Avinu came and he took the reward of 10 generations. How so? Because all of the work that all those 10 generations were supposed to do, the revealing of Hashem's presence in this world that they were supposed to accomplish and they didn't, Avram Avinu looked back at these 10 generations and part of it he did because of his ava to all of Klal Yisrael, which was all of humanity at the time, all those who had to serve Hashem, who was incumbent upon them to serve Hashem, and he was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, and therefore took the schar for all of them. Their job they were supposed to do, they didn't. It pained Avraham Avinu when he says, I'm going to do it, and therefore he gets the schar for all of them. So that's one way it works. That if a person, when seeing something being done wrong, feels for it and wants to change that and wants to sort of be on Hashem's side, he, in that way he is misakin a little bit and he is mekadosh Hashem in that way, and therefore he gets the schar of that other person in what he did, his schar in Gan Eden. The second way it works is that when a person, call him the Rasha as the Gemara calls him, does something wrong, it is now harder for the tzaddik to do something right. On a metaphysical level, because every time an aveira is done in the world, this creates more tumah in the world. If there's more tumah in the world, so it's harder for the tzaddik to bring more kedusha in the world. So he's fighting against the grain. Who caused him to fight harder? Who caused him to be a greater challenge? The Russia. So since the Russia made the challenge for the tzaddik even stronger, the tzaddik gets his portion in Gan Eden. When the tzaddik does something good, he creates more kedusha in the world. And therefore, it's easier for the Russia not to transgress, not to fall. if he does fall, when it's even easier, therefore he takes the tzaddik's chelik in Gehenim. On a more practical level, if a person sees somebody doing an aveira, so he's mushpa from that, he's influenced from that. It makes it easier for him to do an aveira. If he yet withstands the pressure, and he does what's right, he remains the tzaddik, again the challenge is greater. He didn't fall to the pressures of the Russia, and therefore he's zeichet to get the Russia's portion. This idea works, Rav Tzadik says it worked by Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov and Esav had two jobs. Esav was Sur Meirah and Yaakov was Asay Toiv. And that's why the brachas were going to go to Esav. There was going to be more in Olam Hazeh and more involved in Olam Hazeh, but yet withstand all of the pressures. He was sort of the Russia who would do his tachlis in just withstanding the pressures, and Yaakov was the tzaddik who would just be Asay Toiv. But since Esav rejected it, he wasn't interested, so Yaakov had to take his portion. All of the influence that Esav was creating, Yaakov had to take that away from him. That's how the Ur Gedaliah was Meirich and Parshas told us, Ayin Shom. Next week also, as Sfasamis explains, there was the same thing with Aaron and Kairach. Really, Kairach was supposed to be the head of all of the Levim. Just as Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, he was supposed to be the Levi Gadol. And he was supposed to get, just like Aaron gets Truma, he should have gotten his portion of Truma, because he lost it, Kairach. Therefore Aaron had to take Kairach's portion as well, and therefore the Levim have to give a portion of their Meiser, they have to give to the Kohanim, Truma's Meiser, because he lost out in what he was supposed to do, and therefore Aaron takes it. Zacha, he takes Chelek Haveroi B'Gan Eden. And that's how it worked with the Meraglim as well. There was a group over here. There was a group of 12 Meraglim, 12 men. And the pressures were tremendous. As we know, Yeshua needed a special tefillah for Moshe Rabbeinu. Kolev had to go on his own and daven by the kever of the Avos in order to withstand the pressure of the other 10 Meraglim. And therefore it made sense that because they withstood that pressure and that challenge, the created hardship to remain the tzaddik was created by the other 10, by the Rishayim, and therefore they merit Yeshua and Kalev, and they get their schus and Gan Eden, and therefore they get also the portion in Eretz Yisrael as well. Because if they're taking over their job, then whatever is coming, just like a Yerusha, why does the child inherit the father? Because the child is continuing the job of the father. Therefore he gets all of the necessary kalim that he needs to perform that job. Therefore Yeshua and Kalev, who took over the job of the Meraglim because of the pressure created by them, and they remain the tzaddikim, it makes sense that they get the chelek in Eretz Yisrael as well. How far do we take this? It's hard to know. But certainly, the Gemara says it in a way of not a chilek chaveri. It could be with just two people who are friends, and one is on a decline, and really could schlep his friend down. If the friend remains firm and withstands the pressure of his friend, he can take his chilek of his friend in Gan Eden, and the chilek of his own Gehenim could go to his friend. It could work within one mishpacha. One person doing something good in one mishpacha really makes it easier for the mishpacha to do something good. If the rest of the mishpacha don't do it, there could be their chelek and gehenim go to the tzaddik in the family. And the same when there's rishayim in the family, but one tzaddik withstands the pressure, that tzaddik could be taking their chelek and Gan Eden. He could be the portion that the other members of the family are neglecting. What they have to keep, and the tzaddik is being mekayim, and the tzaddik is fulfilling it, he's taking their chelek in Gan Eden. It could work within a class, it could work within a chabura, a group of people. It can go as far as Rav Dessel's understanding from Rav Arminu, it can go as far as spanning generations. There are generations who haven't been mekayim what they have to be fulfilled of in terms of mitzvahs, and one person could come along and take the schar of all of them. It's very far-reaching effects. So on the one hand, we have to be careful not to not to falter when we find ourselves amongst tzaddikim doing the right thing. That we shouldn't, chas v'shalom, go the opposite direction, because we could be giving up our portion of Gan Eden to them. And their Gehenim can be coming to us. On the other hand, when we see an opportunity, when the tide is pushing the other way, when we have to go against the current, and it means more pressure for us, but that means we have an opportunity to take our own chelik and our chelik of chaveiroi be Gan Eden. A good night of Shabbos.